Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
If you're pro-life, this is your month. This is Sanctity of Human Life Month. We've got Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We've got the National March for Life coming up later this month. How do you see the abortion politics pendulum swinging in 2022?
Well, Bob, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be with you. The abortion pendulum is definitely swinging, and it's swinging back pro-life in ways that people have been praying for 50 years. For the first time in the history of abortion in America, the Supreme Court is seriously considering modifying or possibly even overturning the Supreme Court case that legalized abortion, Roe versus Wade.
Mm. Yeah, it's been 49 years since the start of the abortion holocaust. Many in New York, and this, you know, for a lot of states, this would be great news. But for New York State, it's very unlikely that the state legislature will ever act to overturn Roe. Some fear that New York could become an abortion destination for women in other states, that they would come to this state to get an abortion should the high court rule in favor of pro-lifers in Dobbs v. Jackson. That's coming up in June. Do you share those concerns?
Definitely. The abortion battle lines are shifting. The National Abortion Rights Action League is the largest abortion lobby in America, $25 million budget every single year. They have shifted their strategy from a single federal front to a 50-state front. So they're expecting that they're going to have to shift their attention to the state-by-state fights, assuming that Roe versus Wade is overturned.
Yeah.
And that being the case, a simple majority of states will effectively outlaw, like Texas has. And then what will happen is you'll have abortion hub states where they'll continue to maintain abortion, like New York, and women will travel from surrounding states, neighboring states, to get their abortion. We're already seeing this happen. We call it abortion tourism. It's happening in Illinois. In fact, Illinois has seen a 10% increase in abortion in 1 year from abortion tourism from the states surrounding it that have restricted the practice.
Yeah. And of course, the big word that we heard when we heard the oral arguments in Dobbs v. Jackson was this whole issue surrounding viability. I believe in Texas, the heartbeat law there is 6 weeks. In Mississippi, it's a little later than that. I believe it's 12 weeks. I may be wrong, but 15 weeks. But the viability thing is the big issue. How has the emergence of ultrasound technology and sonogram technology really helped to shed light on the humanity of the unborn child?
That's a great question. And it has been a huge, huge awareness-raising technology for the general population. Everybody now knows the child growing in the womb is exactly that, a child, fully human and equally human to people that have already been born. You know, we're all still maturing. None of us are fully mature. Our human DNA manages our maturation from conception all the way through natural death. So wherever this child is on that spectrum of maturity, that child is fully human. And so everybody, because of ultrasound and many other things in terms of education, it's become obvious to everyone.
Yeah.
You can no longer hide behind this concept of a blob of tissue.
Yeah. Jim Hardin with Compass Care in Rochester, our guest as we reflect on and celebrate the humanity of the unborn. January, of course, Sanctity of Human Life Month. Jim, one of the reasons we love your group is you not only work to protect the lives of the unborn, but you also work to protect women. And you have the women that are seeking abortions at the heart of what you do. What are some things that we can do who profess to be pro-life to help advance not just the cause of the unborn, but women who are caught in these crisis pregnancies?
Oh, gosh, you're asking a lot of good questions, Bob. There's so much that we can do as believers. And the first thing is to live a life that's consistent with our beliefs. That's the biggest thing, because people watch us.
Yeah.
And people are watching us that we're not even aware that they're watching us. The way we live our lives, the decisions that we make, they should first and foremost be comprehensively pro-life. We should embrace life in all of its aspects. If somebody's pregnant, encourage them. Do what you can to help them. Pray for them. Same thing when it comes to unplanned pregnancy. Women are facing unplanned pregnancy. They feel stuck. They feel trapped. They feel like they've got no other choice. They need to have an abortion. That's what they tell us. They need it. And so our job as believers is to come alongside them and give them all the support and security that they need in order to have a vision of their future after having had a child. No sane woman actually wants to have an abortion, but they just need some help. They just need some friends. They just need ethical medical care. It's a simple formula. It's just simply loving your neighbor as yourself.
Amen. You know, I heard a great quote from someone the other day. He said, you know, big question, will Roe v. Wade be overturned this year? And he said, it doesn't matter if it is or not, it is being overturned. In the hearts and minds of people all over this country, you see younger people becoming more involved in this as well. I know that excites you. I'll ask you in the final analysis, Jim, do you believe the country is becoming more pro-life?
In some ways, I'm going to have to say yes and no. I think that the country is leaning more pro-life in terms of the pre-born child. I think the answer is yes. But in terms of other issues relative to life, I think we've got a long way to go.